Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you. By the way, I want to remind you that on tomorrow's show, June Reed is going to be with us. She's going to be reporting as she does, as she has been for the last year or so, from Baghdad. She's going to be giving us a report on how things are going over there with the creation of the Constitution in Iraq. And so I'm looking forward to getting June back on the show. And that's a live report from Baghdad, and that's on tomorrow's show. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how that all the times that you hear me talking about branding, sometimes other people are here on the show and I have guests on my show, or maybe sometimes I'm doing it, it's just me and you, and I'm talking about branding, I'm talking about small business owners growing their businesses, and you hear me talking a lot about the ability for small businesses to dominate in their markets, to dominate with their brands. And you hear me talking about a book called Creating and Dominating New Markets, referencing quotes out of that book. And well, you know our guest this half hour is the author of that book, and a guy that I just think an awful lot of as a friend, but also for his mind and his perspectives on the marketplace. We agree on probably 8 out of 10 things in the world. 2 out of those 10 we don't agree on. But Peter Meyer is the guy. You've heard me mention his name many times. And if you've been listening to my show very much, you've heard him on the show before many times, because he's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. He's the author, as I said, of Creating and Dominating New Markets. He's also the author of Warp Speed Growth. He's the president of the Meyer Group, and he's our good friend. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, and I thank you for the insights that you've helped us with over the years. You've done more, I think, probably, Peter, than almost anybody in my Brain Trust to help us get a little more backbone about who we are and how important we are in the marketplace, and understanding that small business owners can actually dominate in a market, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, and with all this flattery, my head no longer fits in my office.
Peter, one of the things I know you want to talk about is doing business with other businesses, what we affectionately call B2B, business to business.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to know about that?
I think that the most important thing that I keep seeing over and over again as I talk to my clients, and we were talking off the air, folks, about large companies treating small companies, as Jim said, sometimes worse than consumers. And I have a lot of large corporate clients who make the fundamental mistake that I don't ever want to see a small business makes. And the fundamental mistake is to assume that they have a solution for which the customer better find a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And selling solutions to without problems is the error that a lot of businesses make of all sizes, and that is true for small businesses as well. To assume that we know what the customer's problem is not how we'd want to buy, is it?
Right. No, absolutely.
If I came to you and said that I knew all your problems before I even knew your name, or even after I barely knew your name, that would be not the right answer.
Well, that's the classic salesman's sin, is to go in and assume that you know what the customer needs without ever asking them any questions.
Right. And in a small business, we're really responsible for what our salesmen say and do. Sometimes we are the salesman. And so the interesting thing that happens is really two phenomena. One is that we tend to lead with a solution, hoping the problem fits it, instead of asking what the problem is. And the other is we tend to sell into a large company. Well, we tend to sell over on the side who's interested in our products as opposed to who's interested in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain that a little more. If you're selling technology products, and by which it could be something as prosaic as a PC or something as complicated as a network, if you're selling technology products, the tendency is to go sell them over to the information technology department and have the IT department be the customer, because they absolutely understand what we're talking about here.
Right.
And they can understand the difference between our product and somebody else's
and
product.
And we can use our jargon on them, can't we?
We can use our jargon, and they use their jargon back, and it feels very comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that comfort is because they understand the technical attribute difference between one product and another. However, as I look at my large clients who are the customers for these sort of things, it becomes real clear that they have a strong division inside each client between the business side of the house and the technical side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the technical side is easier to approach on technical sales, and they'll say, oh, I understand why this ingot needs to be here and why that widget needs to be there. And the business side says, I don't understand that, and what's more, I don't care. But the business side is the side that, in the end, makes the decision.
And they're the people who say, this is what I need. This is what I need to have happen. We're going to talk about this some more. We're going to get more into this business-to-business angle. This is a very important, should be a very, very important part of your strategy, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're selling technology or whatever you're selling. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Peter Byers. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Peter Byers is our guest and our good friend and the author of Warp Speed Growth, also the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to know just how much of a force you can be in the marketplace, I think you should buy the Creating and Dominating New Markets with Peter's second book, because I think you'll see that even as a small business owner, when you read that book, you'll see even as a small business owner, you have the ability to be a force in your marketplace and however you define your marketplace. And I encourage you to do that. I know that's available, Peter, wherever books are sold. They can also find out more about it at your website, can't they?
They can. If they want to do that, then the easiest place to go is www.creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
All right. Yep. And you've got a lot of things there that you've created, a lot of articles that they can check out too, can't they?
Yeah, I believe in sharing information, so they'll find dozens of articles that might be very useful.
I appreciate you making that available. We're talking about B2B. We're talking about business to business, and one of the points that you were making, Peter, is that that sometimes companies make the mistakes, large and small, make the mistake of creating a solution without having identified that there's a need for it. There's a problem out there that needs that solution, and that's your cardinal sin for the marketplace, isn't it?
That's one of the two things that I find happening a lot. And I know when a large company does it to me, I call it arrogant, but when I do it to somebody else, I call it smart. And
yeah,
that's not right. Not right. Now, the other thing that I find goes on that I want to discuss is that we assume that because the technical people understand what we're talking about, technical being whatever our technology is, that we should be selling over there. And the business people don't understand, so we don't go over there. But let me draw an example of what happens inside my larger clients. If you imagine you've got the chief information officer, using a technical example again, at the same table with the chief sales officer and the president of the company, and the chief operating officer and the CFO and all those folks. And the technical person stands up and says, I'm going to spend this much money on all these really wonderful things, and lays out the entire design and all the stuff that goes with it.
Bells and whistles.
Bells and whistles. Everybody says, that's a good decision. We're going to do that. That makes sense. Then the chief sales officer, the executive VP of sales or whomever, stands up and says, I only have one thing to do, and that's make my quota. And I can do it only if the guy over in the technical side will simply delay his project 6 months and help me with just one little thing. Well, who wins that argument? The sales guy every time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're selling to the cost side of the house, which is usually the technical side, the people who spend the money but don't make the money,
mm-hmm,
we're missing out on the real sales opportunity, which is sell to the revenue side of the house, the people who actually make the money. That's where the decisions to buy or not buy get made. And that's where we should be present if we're selling business to business.
Mm-hmm. So even if you have something that the salespeople don't use, you've got to be able to convert whatever it is you sell into something that that will help the salespeople.
The conversion has to happen, but I would argue slightly. I very rarely argue with Jim folks, but I would argue slightly with one word. I don't think it's our responsibility to make that conversion. Our responsibility is to ask enough questions, mm-hmm, of the sales executive so that he or she makes that conversion for him or herself and says, I need your product for my salespeople. They are the only ones who understand their business. We never can. So we need to ask, not tell. Get over there. And I find that a lot of large companies selling to small business don't ask. You may have noticed that. We need to not make the same mistake. We need to ask our potential clients and then sell.
What are some examples of some questions we should ask?
One question you might want to ask, and this is one that is sort of a category of questions, is what keeps you up at night or what are your biggest business problems?
You've taught us that over the years, that's for
right?
sure.
Now follow it up with another question. How will you measure success for that? When you ask the second question, most people go, oh, I haven't thought about that, but I should. Then you're very quiet, you let them figure it out, and when they come to a conclusion of how to measure success for their biggest problem, they've learned something. Anytime you can help a business customer learn something, you've done more than selling. You've done some real favor for them, performed a real benefit.
Well,
and that is something they'll respect.
You've also, by having that kind of a conversation, you have raised yourself from the level of what they would think as a salesperson into what they would consider to be more of a consultative type of relationship, because you haven't said how are your widgets working today. You said what keeps you up at night is, and those you've asked those kinds of questions, which is a lot more intelligent way to find out what your customers need.
Absolutely, and not only more intelligent to find out, but they find out, and when they learn from your talking to them, they're going to want to talk to you some more.
Well, and also that kind of questioning can be used for any department that you're talking to.
Absolutely.
It cuts across. So they don't mind you go, the decision maker doesn't mind if you go not only talk to the technical people, but you talk to the warehouse, you talk to the shipping or whoever you might be calling on.
The end users, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is simply selling the way that you would want to be sold to. Isn't it funny how when we sell sometimes we sell the way we would not want to be sold to?
Why do we do that?
What's up with that is my question. It's we're trained to. The answer is we're trained to.
I think it's because we quit focusing on the customer and we focus on us.
That's true.
We focus on what our goals are instead of what our customer's goals are. When we come back, Peter's going to help us sort all this out, and so we can make sure that we don't do that. We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend Peter Meyer. He's the author of Warp Speed Growth and Creating and Dominating New Markets. Stay with us.
This ain't no place for losers or the innocent.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Peter Meyer's here, too, because he's one of our outstanding members of our Brain Trust, the author of Creating and Dominating New Markets, as well as Warp Speed Growth. And don't forget his website. Go ahead, Peter, give it to us.
The easiest way to do it is MeyerGrp.com.
MeyerGrp.com. You got another one, too, though, right? Does it go to the same place?
They all go to the same place.
And the other one is Creating and Dominating
NewMarkets.com.
NewMarkets.com. All right. Peter, a lot of small businesses are more likely to be doing business with consumers than businesses, and I'd like to help them think about how they could approach a business, how they could develop a strategy, and I'm going to use a silly example. Let's say that they sell flip-flops to businesses. I mean to consumers, and you know, how could somebody who sells flip-flops to consumers come up with a B2B strategy?
When you say flip-flops, do you mean the political things that happen in Washington with the shoes?
No, we don't. Those aren't for sale. Maybe they might be for sale, I guess. No, I'm talking about the kind you wear on our feet. The ones that the girls wore to the White House and got in all the trouble for.
Okay. I think if you were selling shoe wear to a business, that the first thing you'd have to do is make the decision that your idea of whether the business needs them or not is the wrong subject, the wrong way to approach it. Because my immediate reaction as a salesperson would be, why would they want it? But I really need to correct that in my mind and say, no, I need to ask them, about enough questions that will eventually lead them to say, I need or don't need flip-flops. I need to ask people about their business, not tell them about their business. And most companies love to be asked about their business because people keep talking to them instead of listening.
Well, for example, I'm going to use the silly example of a flip-flop. If I have flip-flops for sale and to a business, and I say to them, you know, and I go in there and saying, you know what, we've got industrial colors. How do you like my industrial colors? You know, but what I should be saying is, in the summertime, you know, what is your experience with heat in the summertime? Do your employees, you know, I don't know, ask them some question that would where you would find out if they have any kind of a challenge that you could possibly fill.
I think that the asking the right questions makes sense. What questions do you want to ask? I think the answer is you want to ask questions that would be around the function of the product, not the technology of the product. You want to ask questions that lead the user, the business, to think about how they'll use it. And the way they use it is what really matters in the end, not what color it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how it would benefit them. If you don't have a B2B strategy, Peter, maybe your first task is to go talk to some businesses and let them educate you instead of going in with your own preconceived notions. And what I mean by that is instead of going in maybe in immediately thinking that I'm going to make a sale today, maybe your first step is to find out what the opportunities are and then develop a strategy. What do you think?
I think that makes perfect sense. I would absolutely want to be able to go to a series of businesses and say to people, can I buy you a cup of coffee, and let them answer questions and talk to me as opposed to be sold to.
Mm-hmm.
You'll buy a lot of cups of coffee that way, and you'll have to go to the bathroom more often, but it's really worth it in the end because what you'll do is learn, and they'll respect the fact that you stopped to learn.
Mm-hmm. And tell them that you want to develop a business strategy and find out if whatever it is that you sell, whether it's dry cleaning or flip-flops or widgets or frou-frams or whatever it might be, what would be an application for something like that if you don't already know what that is? That's an area that I'd like to see more small businesses focus on, is if they're not already doing business to business. And, of course, everything that you're saying, if they are strictly business to business, which a lot of small businesses are, all the things that you're talking about actually helps them to get a little bit better. Peter, I got about 30 seconds. Last thoughts.
Last thoughts are sell to businesses the way you would like to be sold to as a business. In other words, understand them before you talk.
Right. Solve problems that they have, not the ones that you imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Give us the website again, Peter.
MeyerGrp.com or creatinganddominatingnewmarkets.com.
And that's the title of the new book, Creating and Dominating New Markets. Thank you, Peter, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you very much.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember today, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.